Lord, thank you for all thy grace, all thy goodness. Thank you for this beautiful day and the joy that we experience as we come together under thy word. When we unite our voices in praise and tune in our ears and our hearts to thy perfect will. Bless us from thy word, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear one, there was something said and read in a Bible class this morning, and the topic, as you know, is Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And the text was taken from John chapter 10, Gospel according to St. John. I would like to reread a couple of verses. And that is John 10, 14, 15, and 16. So it's three verses. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And that is just a springboard what I will try to do with the help of the Lord is to go to fulfillment of that prophecy that Jesus says he has sheep of another fold that he will bring in. And that was a clear reference to us, the Gentiles. So my focus will be on Acts chapter 10, but I will try not to read as many verses because it gets long. But I like to focus on that fulfillment of that prophecy, how Gentiles became drafted in the body of Christ. But I see that the clock was not changed, so maybe I do have an hour and a half, so brace yourself. It may take longer than you think. And then, if I remember, I want to talk a little bit about baptism, what the scripture talks about baptism. I did not know how the Lord is going to work out in my head and in my mind, but I started reading and thinking about baptism, and I thought about story of Cornelius, a centurion, a Gentile man, that is described in Acts chapter 10. It was said that he was a devout man who feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. Gentile man who came to know, who began to search and came to know God and addressed him in his search. And we are told that an angel appeared to him in a vision and told him, there is a man by the name of Simon Peter. He is in Jaffa. You are in Caesarea. This is Caesarea Maritime, north of Tel Aviv. There is a Caesarea of Philippi, which is further north and inland. He said, go and send for that man to come. And while Spirit was working in the heart of one who wanted to become child of God, who wanted to become that sheep of the fold of God, the same Spirit was working on and talking to Peter, who was already child of God, who was not only a child of God, he was also a leader of a church. And we read how about the same time, Peter too had a vision. And that vision was a sheet with all kind of unclean things. And the Lord told him, kill and eat. And Peter said, wow, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything common and unclean. So on one side, we have a seeking soul, somebody who's coming to the Lord. On another side, we have a man of God, child of God, who is not above being taught and having to learn. And Spirit of God is bringing those two individuals together. And Cornelius is obedient to that vision. He sends his devout soldiers. You know, he is told to be a devout man, devoted to God. His soldier is a devout man, whether it's to God or just devout to Cornelius, I'm not clear, but it seems that he was also having already impact to his soldiers, those under his command. And he chose that man to go and bring Peter. And that is about maybe 2 days' journey. And as Peter was resisting instructions from God, he said, not Lord, no, three times, no, no, and no. If you remember, Peter was want to do that. He said, when Jesus talked about how he is going to suffer, he said, no, Lord, that's not going to happen to you. When Jesus washed disciples' feet, Peter said, no, 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 you're not going to wash my feet. So does that happen in your life and mine, even as children of God? When there is an impulse from God, we said, no, 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 I have different idea. I've never done that. This is something new. I don't want to rock the boat. God tells Peter, what I have cleansed, call thou not common or unclean. And the people came, servants came, told them about their master, what he has seen in the vision. He already had a reputation of giving a lot of alms. The Lord was shaping his heart. And perhaps if you are in that state, you see, the Lord is already shaping and molding you. He wants you to become a sheep of his pasture, sheep of his fold. He prayed to God. He gave alms. He was devout. He was focused and determined to know that God. So they came to Peter, and Peter is in Joppa at that time, staying in a house of a Simon the tanner, the one who takes the skins, removes the hair, and processes that to become a leather so they can be worked with. Not exactly ideal environment for a devout Jew who does not want to have anything with animals or bloods or anything like that. The Lord has already put him a little bit in an uncomfortable situation. And now the Lord is telling him, I have sent those people that come here. You just go with him. Don't worry about. And Peter is obedient, but you can tell him that he is at the edge. And he said, you know, it's not even becoming for me, a Jew, to even associate with you people. open, honest admission. This is where I come from. This is what I know. But I have learned something in this last few days or few hours. And that is, God has told me, don't call anybody common or unclean. And I have come without delay, without denying it, as soon as I was sent. Therefore, I ask, for what intent have you sent for me? The one that comes to Jesus Christ, even today, he or she has to express desire of their heart. What do you want from the Lord? What do you want from people of God? What do you want from the shepherd or under shepherd? So we have to not only have that desire, but we have to express it. We have to say to the Lord first and also to the people of God, yes, we desire that mercy. We desire to be accepted. You know, Cornelius was told, your prayers have come to the memorial of God. God has remembered your prayers. It doesn't mean God forgets anything, but this was the time in Cornelius' life when God decided to act upon it. As long as Cornelius was going to cooperate, as long as Cornelius was going to act his part, and I don't mean act in a sense that he just pretends something that's not there. He is supposed to follow through with his desire, with his requests. And he does. And there's a picture in that chapter 10 on Acts. They say, after they enter, and Cornelius was waiting for them, and he called together his kinsmen and near friend. And as Peter was coming to Cornelius, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. And Peter took him up and said, stand up, I myself also am a man. Peter did not want any credit, any worship. He was maybe somewhat reluctant, but he was a tool in God's hand. And he said, you know, you need to learn to worship through God. And when Cornelius gives a testimony of what happened in his life, how he was clearly and unmistakably told to act and how to act, he gave a testimony. He said, immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all present here. Remember, he called his friends, his close kinsmen and friends. And he said, we are all here. Things that are commanded thee of God. He created that opportunity for Peter to speak not only to himself but also to his friends and relatives. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God has sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. This word you know, which was published throughout the Judea and before began from Galilee after the baptism of John. And I would like to come back to the baptism of John. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus is still healing those that are oppressed of devils. And it may not just be physical oppression. It may not be physical ailment. It could be so much spiritual or mental. But Jesus is offering that healing and that freedom. And Peter says, "We are the witnesses of all things which he did to the Jews." And God raised up the third day Jesus and showed him openly, not unto all people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him gave all the prophet witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. This was a succinct gospel message in very few words, preached by one who was commanded by the Holy Spirit unto those whose heart the Holy Spirit has prepared to receive it. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of circumcision, they of the Jews, which believed, were astonished as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it was manifested, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water to those that those should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as we are?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. This is first of the Gentile to be baptized into the church, to be baptized into the body of believers. So, can we look at the components of it? How did that happen? It did not happen that quickly. The Spirit was working on his heart, on Cornelius' heart. Spirit had to work on Peter's heart also. He made Cornelius hungry and thirsty after God. He knew to pray. He knew to give alms. He knew to search and ask. And in his time, God stepped in, sent his angel, told him what to do, where to go, what to seek. And he did not come with any preconceived idea. He said to Peter, you've done well that you have come. Now you tell us, what is God commanding you to do? This is the description of people who God has prepared, whose God, Holy Spirit, whose heart is being prepared so that they can receive the baptism, that they could be engrafted in the body of Christ. It was mentioned in that text and also before that in Matthew how John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. So the nature of John baptism is one for repentance. And we can see that it is a picture of those who are coming to Christ. First of all, is that feeling certainty of sin and guilt in their life and desire to be cleansed, to be freed. So that is a condition, dear friend. If you really want to come to the Lord, if you want to be baptized, you know, you need to have that sense of repentance, of guilt, which is accumulated in your life, and the desire to be freed. We also told in Acts how Apostle Paul, when he went and found some, he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, John verily baptized you with baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That is Christ Jesus. Belief in Jesus Christ is the essential of a Christian baptism. And as we have heard in the Bible class this morning, where Jesus said, I am the door. I am the entrance into that. You know, unless one comes accepting the indispensable teachings of Christ in the scripture, if one is not entering that, one is entering any other way. And we are told, Christ said, those are thieves and robbers. Now, Christian baptism was instituted by Jesus in Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father and Son and the Holy Ghost. This is the baptism that you, my friend, need to seek after. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. This is not a light matter. This is a matter of life and death. So faith in Jesus Christ is the essential. If you remember right after Jesus is resurrected, how Peter told those that are gathered, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Apostle Paul in Romans says, Romans 6, know ye not that so many as of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There's another component, there's another aspect of it, that after baptism we are new creatures, we walk in the newness of life. We, if not, how did I want to say that? As much as Cornelius and those who were being prepared to become baptized, as much they already have that habit of praying and giving alms and so forth, so much more after baptism, Apostle Paul teaches us in Romans, we are to walk in that newness of life. That has to be even more evident in our lives. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Ghost not many days hence. This is what Jesus told them. And we already read how astonished the Jewish believers were who all their lives were accustomed to that they have a unique, singular monopoly of belonging, being God's chosen people, that God has extended his grace, his mercy to all that would believe, all that would accept, all that would come through that door into the fold. And that's what Jesus said, I am the door to the fold. Besides him being a good shepherd, besides him being high priest, Lord and Master, we have to accept him on his terms. Going through the door of Jesus Christ means to accept the teaching of Christ as is described in the Holy Scriptures. What a wonderful privilege, what a blessing. Undeserved merit, undeserved favor. Not what we deserve, but what we deserve, but just the opposite. Sometimes it seems that baptism has been somewhat watered down, or the significance of baptism. You know, and the roots or the beginnings are even recorded in Acts chapter 8, verse 18. We hear of one called Simon. And when Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. That was the beginning of Satan's attempt to corrupt, to profane, to debase, to perverse the holy institution that the Lord has left, that those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. Is there any downfall? Do you see any reason why somebody would not desire, why somebody would not wish for him or herself to fulfill that commandment of the Lord? That special treat. You know, we had a special treat of palachinke today, right? And it was so good. Bobby, do we have a special number? We'll have another special number today. So we have a beautiful day that's already mostly spent. But come to think of how many special treats the Lord has prepared for us and will prepare us in the future that we cannot only even describe. All he asks is that we come through the door that he has prepared by his death, by his resurrection, by his teaching, and that we don't try to come in the fold any other way. May the Lord bless the words.